HP Red. Good evening and welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors meeting for February 27th, 2008. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill.
Here.
Vice President Brookout.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Director Dean.
Here.
And Director Mann is absent.
Please join us in the flag salute. If I could, I'd like to ask Fire Captain John Bober to lead the flag salute tonight.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number three is public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items that are not on the agenda this evening. Would anyone like to address the board at this time? Hearing none. Moving to item four, board member items for discussion. Start with Pamela.
I have none.
Bill?
Not at this time.
No. Vern?
No, nothing.
I have none either. Item number 5A is review and approval of minutes from February 13th. Any comments, questions, or corrections? No. Any comment from the public on this item? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
All members of the board, at its meeting on October the 10th, 2007, the board directed the general manager in conjunction with the fire committee to enter into negotiations with the cities of Aurora, Grant, and Grover Beach for consolidated or joint fire services and to subsequently provide any proposed agreements to the board for consideration. The services proposed for joint operation were utilization of a single fire chief, utilization of a single fire training officer, and participation in a joint reserve firefighter program. All three agencies have already approved a joint reserve firefighter program, which currently is in operation. The proposed agreement for joint fire services is attached, as provided with the staff report. The principal components of the agreement are the following. The agreement provides that Aurora Grande will provide the management and training services of a fire chief and battalion chief to Grover Beach and the district. The agreement will be effective March the 1st of 2008. The cost to OCSD for March the 1st through June 30th will be $16,700. The existing equipment sharing agreement between the three agencies is incorporated into this agreement, and the agreement will be enforced until June 30th, 2008, and may be extended by mutual consent of all three agencies for a period of 3 years. The agreement will automatically renew on an annual basis after 3 years. As discussed in fiscal year two, in the mid-year budget review at the board meeting on February the 13th, there are adequate funds in the fire department budget to pay these expenses through June 30th, 2008. The fire committee reviewed the proposed agreement on February the 19th and recommends approval. Two additional things. The city of Aurora Grande considered this agreement last night and approved it. The city of Grover Beach is scheduled to consider it on March the 17th. And Fire Chief Hubert is in the audience to assist me with any technical questions you may have.
Thank you, Chief, for coming tonight. We're very pleased to have you here. First of all, comment or questions from the board on the staff report? Pamela?
No.
Bill?
No.
Vern?
No, nothing.
Any public comment on this item? Hearing none. Board members like to make any additional comment? I'm personally very pleased to see this item go forward. This is something that I believe that the residents of the local communities have strongly supported for a long time. And I look in not only our community, but the communities of Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande, so that we provide the same a high quality level of service to our communities throughout. Everyone's cross-trained on the equipment. The equipment is standardized as much as we can, and I think we've been moving toward additional standardization of equipment. the thing that I'm most proud of, I think, being associated with this district, one of the things I'm the very most proud of is the professionalism and the dedication of our fire service personnel. They have worked hard and tirelessly to provide the best possible service that the residents of our community and our neighbor communities could hope for. And they've done it quietly, they've shouldered the burden, they've committed to continuously improve the quality of service that our residents receive. And we're all the jurisdictions, City of Rio Grande, the City of Grover Beach, and OCSD, are all being asked to provide the same level of service as what they're being asked to provide, but with decreasing and compromised revenues and increasing costs. And these kind of agreements have allowed us to go forward, meet those challenges, and due to the professionalism and the dedication of our fire service professionals, they've been able to exceed and excel. And it's a testimony to their skill and professionalism, and I'm proud to be associated with them. So with that being said, I'd look to entertain a motion.
Well, I think I'd like to add a little bit to that. And you know, I'm also, you know, I'm in agreement with the, you know, with the kudos that goes to the fire department. We have, you know, we're very, very happy, very proud of our fire department here, and very happy with each and every individual member within it, as well as the group as a whole. And we do have the money in the budget to do this, but what we do not have in the budget is money for replacement of equipment. There's no money going into our reserves, and that still is of great concern to me. And that is something that's going to have to be worked out in the future for this to be viable and sustainable long-term into the future. And that's something we need to be...
I'll second that motion, but I would also like to comment that this is groundbreaking for us and the Rio Grande and Grover Beach, and I wish us all a very good future together. I see a great future together. That's my second.
Thank you. Any additional comment? Okay, with that, may we have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Vice President Brokaw?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item number 7, then, moving on, is utility items. The first one is 7A, cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. This is the continuing disclosure of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors concerning the cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water mains following the San Simeon earthquake. I think the Board is all very familiar with this item. Is there any question or comment from the public on this item? Hearing none. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion to continue cleaning and the inspection of our district sewer and water lines.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we continue the disclosure of emergency declared following the San Simeon earthquake for cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water mains. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Vice President Brokaw?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item number 7B. This is consideration of the Old Avocado Ranch well site, discussion of potential use of a well site on Old Avocado Ranch development. And we have a staff report. I understand that Director Brokaw had asked that this item be placed on the agenda, so if you'd like to make a comment on it or...
Yeah, I would. At a previous meeting, it came up where we were talking about an easement into this avocado ranch and the possibility of having a well site. We weren't quite exactly sure what the scenario was if we had an easement there. We now found out that we do have an easement for that. And if we have an easement for it, I want to at least talk about the use of this location for a well site, as in our staff report here.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't make us, that doesn't bring a, and also well number six has cost us a lot of money in the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
Wells four and five do not meet the primary state health department requirements for drinking water. Both are very high in selenium. These two wells can only be used when they are blending with water from well six or the approved water supplies. Again, well number seven does not meet secondary state health department requirements for drinking water. The water from this well is high in iron. We put a lot of money in our wells, and well number eight has proved to be a very good well.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have our water department here tonight. However, the old Avocado Ranch site, where we now have an easement for a well, could prove to be a very successful, great water in that area. And maybe not putting in a well, but maybe putting in a test well to see what kind of water we can get out of that well. Would not be as expensive as a well, but if there's good water there, it would, in the long run, be a lot more feasible to eliminate a couple of the wells that are high in iron, not working to their proper form, and put our money in a well that will work properly. This is just something to discuss, and that's why I brought it to the board.
Okay.
You know, another thing is saltwater intrusion. The Avocado well site is a lot farther from the ocean than well number seven and well number eight. I believe we have some wells in the old fire station parking lot. I don't know the numbers of those. I think they're test wells. No?
Are you talking about the
depot? Depot. I'm sorry, no, I said fire station. That's it.
Okay. Since this item is basically a discussion item, first of all, Patrick, is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I'd like to clarify staff's position. We're currently, we use well number six. Well number eight is our primary well, and mostly we use well number eight to supplement state water and Lopez water. We do have our current annual requirement for water is about 900 acre feet a year. The majority of that, almost, and if we used it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, we could get all the water we needed just from that one well. It's high quality water, and it's potentially all the water we need. To back that up, or as a secondary source, wells number four, five, and six are co-located right together. And so the fact that we need to blend water out of six and five is actually a good thing, because by combining the water from those two wells, we get very acceptable water. And that could be up to another 300 acre feet a year. So with the 800 from well eight and the additional 300 from wells six and five combined, that gives us a reasonable expectation that we could generate 1,100 acre feet a year in water if we needed it. Drilling additional wells, it's not an exact science, and there are a lot of dependent factors, so I can't give you an exact price. For an actual well, it would cost a minimum of about $250,000 upwards to $500,000 to drill a well. Test well, that's the first I'd heard about that, although so I can't give you a cost estimate on that, although I think it would be substantial. It wouldn't be that much less, I don't think. I'm not, you know, I'm not a well driller, so I can't say specifically. In any of those options would take substantial amounts of investment from the water fund, and staff's just not in favor of investing money right now when we don't feel we really need to do that.
What when you say up to $500,000 to put a well in, are you counting the infrastructure as well?
Yes, that's the entire cost.
Okay. Right. And we're entitled to how much groundwater?
We're entitled to 303 acre-feet a year from Lopez and 758 acre-feet a year from State Water.
So how much are we entitled to in groundwater?
Groundwater, 900 acre-feet, I think. Okay. 900 acre-feet a year. And the only...
And we have the capability right now of pumping 1,100 if we needed to.
If we had to, that's correct.
Out of all the wells or just the well number 8?
Out of three wells. Well 8 combined with wells 6 and 5
okay.
could pump about 1,100.
And if
we're not entitled to pump that much, but we could.
Yeah.
And that probably depends. The guys in our water department work really hard, and they have provided us with excellent quality water in quantities that meet the needs of the community. And we have the ability, in the event of this year is one that we're all concerned, of course, with the amount of state water. It was originally reported that the state water would be only on the order of 25% this year of what we had been getting. I think Director Dean provided information at the last meeting that we'd be getting probably 35%, if I recall.
That's what I've been told.
Your report. So we are concerned with that. However, it seems that the combination of wells that the district has, the current infrastructure, and the ability to get the Lopez Lake water, plus our if we have 750 acre feet from the state project, that's probably 300 or so acre feet, even if we get 35%. Mm-hmm. So state water and Lopez would again make up almost all of our needs and not potentially strain the capacities of our wells to provide adequate water. So it seems to me that talking about the kind of investment that is required to put in that well and infrastructure is something that may be necessary in the future, but I don't really see how it could be justified at this time. And I think what we should do is stand by until the staff and the water professionals that we have come to the conclusion that we need to investigate more supplies.
Can I say something?
Please.
I just had a thought. When Vice President Bookout mentioned Testwell, we are involved with the Santa Maria groundwater litigation, and part of that is a program to monitor water for saltwater intrusion and other things into the future. And one of the components of that program is to drill test wells in various places throughout our community to do that testing. So I could recommend to that's Dr. Priestaff, Iris Priestaff, I think. Mm-hmm. She's conducting that study, and she's developing a method to reduce the connection fees for the development.
By how much?
I don't have the number right off my hand. I think around, I can't say.
Was it about $200,000?
That's my recollection, but I can't confirm that right now.
That's money that we could use in our district for our water department for other things. Is there a chance that we could possibly sell that easement? I don't know if that's at this, if we should agendize that for another meeting. Because $200,000 is a lot of money to just sit on a well site. We can go buy a piece of property for that.
If I recall the advice of the water department at the time, they were looking to secure a well site on the east side of town. And that one became potentially available. And it seemed that without effectively a cash outlay, the easement was obtained. So I think that's kind of the history of that, if I recall. Yeah, Gina,
that's
you can
correct.
Probably
you know,
help my recollection.
But
there.
we gave them $200,000.
It wasn't. There was no direct connection between the reduction in the connection fees and that easement. It's my understanding that was the agreement that was made. The other thing is that for a well site, it's an excellent location. It was what we needed, and it was perhaps worth that much money, at least in the eyes of the staff at that time it was. Now, if you tried to sell that easement on that particular piece of land, I don't think you'd get anywhere near $200,000 because it's only beneficial as a well site for OCSD. It's not; it doesn't have the same benefit to other buyers. At least that's my belief.
Well, you know, my thoughts are, if that's the case, if that's how we obtain that easement, then we should be looking at putting a well in there. It sounds like it's far enough away from other wells in Oceano that it would be a good, reliable source for water for our community. And it would also cut down in the future on other costs of repairing well number 6, having to blend water. We have a great well here, well number 8. That's stated here mm-hmm. in the paperwork. And we're able to blend other waters to make it safe for drinking water. But if this site is as good as what you've just mentioned, I see a benefit of having a well site there, even though it did cost us a couple hundred thousand to obtain it in fees.
There's a negotiation and process between our board and the city council for the city of Rio Grande to provide them with a temporary sale of water, but there's no commitment yet either way.
So if that commitment does come about, some of that money could be going into ensuring for our community that we have another well in Oceano and potentially as good as well number 8.
Well, I don't know that you can sit without having a test well at least in place and speculate on the quality of water. The water quality in the various of the wells in the area have had nitrates issues. This is, it's called the old avocado ranch because prior to the development it was used for agriculture. That's a prime source of nitrates, I would think, in the groundwater. I'm not convinced that we can just, you know, sit here and speculate whether that water would be good or need to be blended or what we would find when we're there.
Well, I would think that if we put in another well, what you're doing is you're putting a straw into the same glass, basically. We already can pump more than what we're allowed to pump out of the ground. And any money that we would be putting into another well is money we would not have to spend to develop and bring desal in, which is new water, additional water. So I think, you know, I think that any monies we're going to be pulling in from any water sales or anything else, we need to look at trying to fund the desal that we're working on before we would spend this kind of money on something that is basically a new straw into the same glass, you know, into something we're already able to get all that we can use, all that we can take, are allowed to take out of the ground now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice to have the assurances in the back, but I don't think it's, you know, it wouldn't be the way I would prioritize it. And it's, you know, it's good having a discussion about it, but my thinking would be, you know, would not prioritize spending the money in that direction. But if you are going to go ask if they want to drill a test well in that spot, that there could be a request to have that easement abandoned and we would lose it.
I'd ask our council to
counsel a question to
check
counsel,
into that,
which I can repeat. if we do nothing with that property down there, just leave it, you know, untouched, is there any chance that we could lose it with a petition to have the easement abandoned?
The short answer is no. In situations where there's an offer to dedicate, then with the passage of time, those can evaporate. But we have a deeded easement. We have the right to pass across the property. And so it's there in perpetuity. And I could be wrong, but my recollection of the discussion when this when this arrangement was first made was that it was not contemplated that we would be putting a well there soon. The idea was that this was for the very long, long-term needs of the district.
That was my understanding, too.
Administrative Assistant Davis just advised me that we did get a quote on a test well, and it would be approximately $140,000 to $150,000 was the engineering estimate we got.
To do a test well.
To do a test well, right.
What did we pay for well number six when we just repaired it recently? Was it over $100,000?
No. $179,000 for Lane Christensen plus the engineering on it.
So that money, that $179,000, we could have put a test well in on the Avocado Ranch to put another well in there, or at least get down to the water, find out what kind of water is there.
That's true. Then we wouldn't have well six. So
then you don't have a production well. I think we were prudent to spend our money on the production well at that point.
Well, my thought process there is we have to blend well number six water. It meets all primary state health department requirements. However, water from this well is high in iron and must be blended with other water to make it acidically acceptable. I have a hard time with that word. I've read through old minutes with Oceano, and well number six comes up many, many times as needing a lot of work, a lot of maintenance, and there's been a numerous...
Convenient because we have well number five right next to it, and so it's very easy to blend the two. It's minimal effort to get good quality water out of it.
Pamela, would you like to comment?
I've seen that water from well number six. It's red. It comes out red. It is not aesthetically pleasing. You would have to blend a lot with that to make it it work right.
Well, we've been doing it for, a month now? And there haven't been any problems with the water quality. When they originally started pumping the water out of there, it was very red. The more we pumped, the less iron content there was, down to the point where at the end, it wasn't red anymore. It was still, chemically, there was an iron content in it through well testing, but visually it was not red. It was a little murky, but not red anymore. And it blends perfectly with well five to give us useful quality water. We haven't had a single person complain about the quality. And we do in the past when we've had problems with iron because it affects laundry. If you do laundry, especially white laundry, it comes out stained. And we're not experiencing those problems.
Well, I'm satisfied holding off for now, but I definitely, this issue will probably come back up through the public, or if one of our wells goes bad in the future, or we have trouble with the well in the future, I would like to definitely take another look at it at that time. If we find more problems with the iron contents in well number six, I definitely think we should take another look at it. Pamela mentioned the red water coming out of it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound too good, but then as blending, I'm sure you can blend that out too.
Any other board comment or anything before we ask for public comment? Is there any public comment on this item? Hearing none at this time. The recommended action on here was to provide direction to staff for which, if I think that I could summarize. Would someone first of all like to make a motion on this, or
the intent is to keep this easement in reserve in case we need to use it in the future, unless we're given different direction. That's the way we'll proceed.
Okay.
I got one question about the easement. If we were to go into it later on, put a well in after all the houses are put in, are we going to be having to tear up the streets going into the community there, or will we be able to hook into that water into our system without ripping up curb, gutter, sidewalks, blacktop?
I don't know that.
You don't know?
I do know from the utility supervisor that there is an easy way to connect should we do it in the future. We have an 8-inch main that we can tie into easily.
Within a short distance? Mm-hmm. Good.
I have one more question. Who signed for our easement? Who accepted the easement from Avocado Ranch?
It was on the map mm-hmm. For the tract. And so by virtue of the map being accepted by the county and recorded, it was transferred to us. There's no further requirement of acceptance. If we were to go and negotiate a grant deed type easement, then that would require a certificate of acceptance from the board at, you know, by some sort of formal action. But showing up on a map, it's not required.
Okay. Any other comment or questions on this topic? Okay, hearing none, then we'll move on to administrative items. Item 8A, financial reserves. Is there?
Yeah, this past week we've had shortages of staff due to a family emergency, and we have been unable to generate this data. So I'd ask the board's indulgence, and we'll bring it back at the next board meeting.
Mm-hmm. I think that's appropriate. So we'll pull that off the agenda tonight with concurrence. And then move to item number 8B, rules of order. This is consideration of recommendation of district legal counsel to amend the district rules of order.
Yes, Mr.
Mr. President, is the officer here for a report or anything?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, you recall at your February 13 meeting, you reviewed some proposed changes to the board's a clean copy with all of the editing marks removed. And to that clean copy, I attached a copy of resolution number 1998-19, which the rules of order refer to as being attached, and there was some concern about making sure we really knew what it said. And of course, when this ultimately gets approved, it will be attached as well. The changes before you tonight can be summarized as follows. Changes to provide for automatic rotation of the board officer positions rather than by election. Provisions for appointment of district representatives to third-party boards. Provisions for digital or other electronic recording of the meetings and deletion of the requirement for erasure after 90 days. Modification of the expense reimbursement provisions to comply with the recently adopted district travel policy. And on that one item, what the rules of order said before was pretty close, but there were a few areas of ambiguity, so I thought it was just better to reference the travel policy as a cleaner way to go, so there was no confusion. And finally, modification of Section 9.2A dealing with committee appointments so that it conformed with Section 1.4F, which also deals with the same issue. I'll be happy to try and answer any questions. If there's some further guidance from the board about further changes you're interested in, we can discuss those. And I would hope to be able to bring this back to you at your March 12th meeting for a final adoption by resolution.
Thank you very much for your work on this. Does we have, first of all, any board comment or questions? Pamela?
Yeah.
Bill?
Alex, sometime back, I think it was mentioned to you about some old minutes. We're at a meeting, duties of president and vice president, and there are assignments to, I believe, standing committees like the sanitation. Did you get a chance to research any of that?
No, and it didn't seem to me that it was relevant because those minutes were from some meetings, I believe, in the mid-80s, and the rules of order that we had before us that we're dealing with were adopted significantly after that, sometime in the early 1990s, I believe. And so they would have superseded that discussion, which wasn't really a...
I'm pleased with the effort here. I think you've got the base is pretty well covered. It looks consistent. It looks like a good document. So I guess then the is there any public comment on this item? Hearing none this evening?
I will bring back a formal resolution at your next board meeting for a routine adoption.
Okay. Thank you very much. Item number 8C, consideration of a discussion of impacts of flooding in the community. And I understand that this is... Patrick, you have a...
Before we get started, I'm going to recuse myself on this item. Not only do I have a flooding problem down here on my nursery property, there's other flooding problems on the west side, which would be affected, so I'm going to recuse myself.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready? Mr. President, members of the board, last week, or actually earlier this week, I had a conversation with Dean Benedicts of the County of San Luis Obispo Public Works Department, and he indicated to me that communities have been successful in having flooding mitigation efforts funded through the efforts of individual citizens in that community going forward and working with the county to find sources of funds and to find ways to mitigate flooding issues. He also indicated that it would be useful to the county to have that individual be someone who was supported by OCSD and the OAC and other local community groups. We have a I defer to Director Dahl to provide further information.
Mm-hmm. Fern?
Thank you. Yeah, I asked for this to be on the agenda, and I had a conversation last week with Dean Benedicts from after the Zone 11A meeting, and was talking with him about flooding and to try to find some funds for flooding. That it would be good for that person to get kind of like some form of recognition that the board is behind that person looking into this, as opposed to them doing it as a private citizen. And so recognizing that we have no flooding authority, we have no funding for flooding. We are not interested in taking on any lead agencies for any kind of flooding or anything like that. It would still be good if I or somebody from this board that was willing to work on this and toward this had the recognition of the board that that's what, you know, that the board was behind them doing that. And I'm willing to work and see what I can, you know, or what can be put together in that direction if I can get the, support of the board behind me.
Pamela, do you want to comment first?
Did Dean give you any idea of the kinds of funds that they would be looking into?
No, he basically said if that happens, that he'd be willing to sit down and talk with me as to where to go next. And I'm not exactly sure where to go next, but I'm sure there are many people out there that have gone through this and done this, and if I ask enough questions of enough people, I'm going to get the answers I need and the directions I need to go forward on this. And I know that they've received money in the POMA for it, for flooding issues. The study has now been done, and that's all. And that's, you know, the number one stumbling block for getting money is having a study and getting a study done, because that's basically a scope of work of what needs to be done. And once that's there, there's a lot of times places to find money to get to work on that on those problems.
And so, you know, I want to look at trying to do what I can do to put a positive force together to work with the county and within the county and the state and whoever else to try to see if we can bring some money in here to work on flooding. You know, if it works, great. If it,
that area that are very concerned, of course, Antonia is very concerned.
Yeah. Well, I am not looking. I'm not looking for to put together a group or organization of people that are going to go look at trying to blame or find fault in what hasn't happened or what isn't happening. I'm looking for a positive work with other organizations and groups. I'm looking for that type of a working relationship with, you know, within the county, within the different agencies, to try to look to work forward into what can happen and what we can work toward. So, you know, and we have our scope of work of what needs to be done.
Yes, we do.
And so so that's, you know, that's our basic you know, the basic concept of what I'm trying to think of and trying to move forward. You know, we're not going to get anything. We're not going to have things happen by telling things you should have or you didn't or you need to or you're bad because you didn't or anything like that. Those type of remarks between us and other agencies are not going to get things moving forward.
So the county's going to help you network with various agencies or various agencies?
That's the idea, is to look for grants, and we're going to, you know, there. I'm sure that, you know, that of the people within the county I have talked to, I think that there's positive responses coming back where there's something can be done. But, you know, it's a long way between here and there. You know, this is the first step on a long trip, and it's not going to be something that's going to happen overnight.
It looks to me like this is a great opportunity, and Vern, I appreciate you stepping forward. I think you would be a great person to do that. I know you have, what I've seen personally, excellent mediation skills, and I think you'd be an excellent representative for the community, and I'm delighted you are. I know that you're willing to help and to do that, and I would be delighted to endorse your project. I think that's a very positive development. I think you're exactly right that the county was hindered in, if you will, until that study was performed. There's legal problems and so forth. They can't really do anything until a study's performed officially that outlines the scope of the problem and what the needs are and the areas that need help. And we all know the many areas that do need help, and you have the kind of the roadmap laid out with the study. And I'm delighted that you're willing to step forward and lead the effort on that, and I really can't think of probably a better person to do it. I think you've got the skill, and I'm just really delighted you're willing to help.
Okay. Well, what I need is I need some formal as we can do legally. And of some kind of support.
Well, tying in with your comment that everybody knows that we don't have drainage authority, we have to be a little bit careful here, but it seems to me you could adopt a resolution offering the district's support and encouragement for your efforts as a private citizen to work cooperatively with the county to alleviate the drainage problems within the district boundaries. Something of that sort, I think,
would... Perhaps helping the county with prioritization and helping the county working with them to identify maybe CDBG or whatever funding sources might be available to mm-hmm. to do that.
Exactly.
It sounds like a good plan to me. Pamela, would you like to make the motion, or what, could I do that? Or
perhaps I just bring a resolution back to the next board meeting.
Is that?
I don't think any actions required tonight. If I will prepare the resolution, bring it back to the next board meeting for approval.
Okay, that sounds like a great plan.
Okay. And maybe in the meantime, you can talk to, or I'll talk with you guys as far as who we can talk to in the county for what's going to work the best in what they would like to see to help move this thing forward.
Okay. Yeah.
And again, since we do have televising is going on, I'd like to ask anybody in the public that is interested in working on a project like this in a positive manner to please either get a hold of me, I'm in the phone book, or via the district here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll look forward to seeing that on the next agenda.
Thank you.
Okay, item number, first of all, let's bring Vice President Bookout back.
Would you go again?
Okay, moving then to item number 9, report of district representatives. I attended the fire committee meeting on February 12th. The items discussed that are largely related, I think, to the joint agreement that we've endorsed this evening. The Southstown Los Obispo County Sanitation District meeting, we received a couple reports from staff. The plant, the sanitation district plant, is running very well, meeting all discharge requirements. The staff there is working on some of the equipment that they put out a request for proposals to entertain bids for some repairs, and the bids that were received were inordinately expensive, and the sanitation district staff looked at the scope of work and decided that it could probably be done in-house for very significant savings, and so that work is in process. The other thing I attended was the joint meeting regarding People's Kitchen, but I'll let some of the other members talk about that. Moving on, Vice President Bookout.
All righty. Well, I attended the joint meeting with the People's Kitchen. Very, very informative. We had Pismo Beach, Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, all cities, and Oceano, our community service district, were all represented. We all got a chance to talk about the homeless in our community. We were all enlightened with homeless in San Luis Obispo. It's a big issue. We don't have the largest homeless population in the world, but L.A., San Francisco, Santa Barbara are very large homeless populations. But it's something we all have to look at and we have to address. Having a place where they can eat, find shelter, bathe, clean, is very important. And it's something we as a community need to look out for them in the future. There's a lot of great people that talked there. From the EOC was Jody Smith. We had People's Kitchen people having a day center in the future, a place where people can eat a healthy meal. The People's Kitchen has been established since May of 1991, that's 17 years. They have been serving people between 50 and 150 people until recently, when they moved and their attendance has dropped off to 20 to 40 people per day. That's a good beat.
That's their
Their location, though, is only temporary. And finding a more permanent location within the five cities is an important issue with Pismo, Grover Beach, Aurora Grande, and us there in Oceano in the future. It was just very eye-opening, and I was very proud as a resident of Oceano to be able to attend this meeting and learn about the People's Kitchen and our homeless in our area and ways that we can benefit and help them in the future.
Okay. Vern?
Yeah, extremely busy between the last meeting and this one. The Oceano Advisory Council met.
Excuse me, Mr. Dahl.
I'm sorry, I had to turn that off.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I've been extremely busy between this last meeting of the Community Services District here and this one tonight. There's been a lot of things going on. Oceano Advisory Council met on February 18th. We had three projects that we reviewed. There was one that was off of Jetty Avenue, which was a new house, and the curbs, gutters, and sidewalks needed to be put in, and sidewalks were forgot to be mentioned in the report from the county, and so that was, we just verified that's happening, and then we were in favor of that project. And then there was another one, which was a modular manufactured home going in on Strand Way. And that one was something that we were in favor of. And then we looked at the Tacken project, which is going to be on the corner of 21st and Highway 1, which would be the southeast corner. And it's a mixed-use project with some commercial up front and some apartments up on top and in the back. And that one, about half the council felt that a traffic study needed to be done and the other half didn't. And then after we looked at it, it looked like something that, you know, came straight out of the general plan for Oceano, and we supported the that project. There's another new referral in for our next meeting, and then we're working on paving. Looking at when and how the paving is going to happen on Strand Way. Strand Way is getting pretty full of potholes. And so there's been a few letters back and forth with the county on that. And been an update on the signage in Old Wands, corner of Pier Avenue and Highway 1. And we got some drawings of what that's going to be looking like. And that's the highlights of that meeting. And then, also passed out at the meeting was from the county was the annual report for the planning and building department. So anybody interested in that, looks like this. The camera can get a picture of it, and that can be you can get it off the web at www.slocounty.ca.gov/planning, and or you can get it from the planning department, county. So that was the Ocean Advisory Council. Then on February 19th, the Flood Zone 1A Advisory Committee met, and I received a warm welcome, and it was nice to see the many wonderful people involved in the committee again.
The meeting started out with a discussion as to whether or not the riding of horses on the north levee was damaging the levee. The riders try to use the south side of the creek as much as possible, but there are problems with that side. From around March through September, the state park will often close that area due to the snowy plover nesting. In addition, areas of the trail consist of heavy clay. When the clay is wet, it can actually pull the shoes off of the horses if they walk through it. Direction was given to all members to physically go and look at the north side of the levee to inspect it from the ocean to about even with the end of the airport runway. There will be an agenda item on the next meeting on March 18th to discuss the situation and any options. Also mentioned at the meeting was the vacant position that currently exists on the council. There were two positions received by the county for that, two applications received by the county for that position. As of the meeting, the Board of Supervisors has not determined who will fill that vacancy. There are several things that are being worked on at once in Zone 11A. The physical work that is being done is on the banks and the replacement of existing equipment. It is easier to get permits to do this kind of work than it is to get permits to do work in the stream beds. Right now, Zone 11A is in the process of replacing the existing flap gates. The Rancho Del Arroyo flap gate has been completed, and there is enough money in the budget to do the Sand Canyon flap gate next. They have already completed two stream gauges, one at Valley Road and another at 22nd Street. The stream gauges continually report to the county with real-time measurements the stream height and precipitation. Anyone can get this information on the web if they're interested at www.slocountyfloodcontrol.org, all one word, of course. So this is basically SLOCOFLOOD. CONTROL.org. The website's continually updated every 15 minutes. Zone 11A is spending a lot of time and effort working on getting permits. What they are trying to do is get long-term permits from the many agencies that will allow them to properly maintain and manage the creek. In addition to the permits, are the environmental reports, which have to be done before any work can be performed. So it's a long process just to be able to do work, and expensive. The zone also is working on additional funding to help pay for all this, along with funding for the actual work. They have recently completed an application for an IRMW grant, or IRWM, I'm not sure, I don't even know what it stands for, but it's some grant that they've been working on. That's going to bring in a decent amount of money. They should hear back on the status of that grant in March or April. The next Zone 11A meeting will be a task force meeting. It will be held on March 13th from 3 to 5 p.m. at the county offices in San Luis Obispo. I think I just got an email today on this, and that date and time has been changed. If anybody's interested in that, they can get a hold of the district here, and I'll have some updated information on it. The next two regular meetings will be on March 18th and April 15th from 3 to 5 p.m. in the Oceano Community Services District Boardroom, which is right here where we meet. So that's it for the Zone 11A. Okay, for the Airport Land Use Commission, the commission met last February 20th. It was nice to see everybody again after such a long hiatus. They had not met since October 17th, so there were several updates staff had for the commission. The Airport Land Use Plan is available on the. It's available. Here's a copy of it. If anybody's interested. The Airport Land Use Plan is available on the slowplanning.org website and the San Luis Obispo Airport website. CDs and hard copies are available at the County Planning and Building Department. In addition, I've supplied a hard copy to the district here for anyone who wants to view it. We still have that available?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's still available. There is a piece of property close to the side of the airport that the county wants to increase the density on. This project is in the preliminary stages and will be coming before the Airport Land Use Commission in the future as it moves forward in the process. Something that might be of interest but does not affect Oceano was an update on the Delidio project. If you remember, this is the property which was subject to measure, or which was a subject of Measure J, which was passed by the voters in November of 2006. There was a lawsuit filed in Superior Court challenging the initiative. The court basically decided that the property owner could not bypass the planning process with an initiative. And I've got a copy of that lawsuit and the filing of that lawsuit here. And if anybody's interested in seeing that, that'll be here with the district too for a couple weeks or so. Otherwise, you'd have to get a hold of the county for it. The last update I'll report on is that Commissioner Potras, who was appointed by the Airport Managers Committee, and Commissioner Vanderziel, who was appointed by the Board of Supervisors, their term on the commission will expire on May 31st, 2008. Hopefully, they'll be rejoining the commission after that. The commission had a hearing on the draft master plan for the Oceano Airport. The county gave a presentation on the plan to the public and the commission. It was basically the same plan or same presentation that was given here in Oceano several months back. It is a 20-year plan on how the airport facilities would grow as the need would arise or will arise. It was also a report that there is no longer, or also with the report was that there is no longer a concessionaire at the airport. The county is running the airport directly. They also reported that there is now fuel at the airport. And the commission, after hearing the report, determined that the plan is consistent with the airport land use plan by a unanimous vote. There were a couple of other discussion items, but they had nothing to do with Oceano. The next meeting will be Wednesday, March 19th, 2008 at 1:30 p.m., and they meet in the Board of Supervisors chambers. Joint meeting with the People's Kitchen, that's already been talked about, and I've already talked enough, I think, so I'll just let that one go. With what's been said, and then I also attended a meeting for the California Special Districts Association, and they meet approximately quarterly, and this was up in San Luis at the and it was hosted by John Sykes, who is a attorney for many of the special districts around and has been here before. We basically looked at some of the trainings or some of the requirements that are needed for board members, and so the trainings on conflicts of interest and those type of things. Looked at possible other trainings that we need to talk or could be talked about in the future. If anybody, there's a few other people from here. Barbara attended, and Patrick attended. And if you have anything you want to add, you can add that, Patrick, okay. If you want. And that concludes my reports.
Okay, thank you. Pamela?
I have nothing.
Okay. One comment I would like to make on the joint meeting regarding People's Kitchen
Not only were the cities of Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, Pismo represented, but also, importantly, Supervisor Cacho Ashajian and Supervisor Jerry Lenthal were there expressing the concern of the county for the homeless problem in the South County. So I wanted to make sure that we recognize their efforts on behalf of the homeless in this area.
Yeah, let me do add one more thing to that. A lot of the basic consensus that came out of the meeting was that there's a lot of different organizations that deal with and provide help to homeless people, and one of the directions that they're looking for and hoping for is to find a place where a number of these things can be housed. These different organizations can be housed to help homeless together, in the same building. And that's one of the directions that they were hoping to go forward from this meeting forward. Mm-hmm. That's it.
I did have a question for you, Vern. You mentioned long-term permits that Zone 11A is working on. Is the Resource Conservation District pretty much working with and leading that still?
Resource Conservation District is one of the organizations that is heavily involved in this and working with Zone 11A, along with Salmon Conservation and other other groups. They're very, Resource Conservation District is, they're doing a lot to bring this forward.
I know they've done a lot of work, and our own community members, Norm Geddes, one. We've got a lot of people involved with that are really keeping that going, mm-hmm. doing well. Okay. Are there any comments or questions from the public on the reports? Hearing none, we'll move on to general manager discussion items. Patrick?
Yeah, Mr. President, members of the board, I have two items to discuss. The first concerns the street light on Melody Lane. We got a contract last week from PG&E. It wasn't the clearest contract that we've ever received, so our utility department had to do quite a bit of negotiating with or discussing with PG&E. We determined that we could that it's an acceptable proposal. It's going to cost $5,713. That's their contract price. We've already prepared a check and signed the contract. We have to do some work. We have to do some trenching and install some conduit, but basically they're going to do the rest of the work. Hopefully, we'll get the contract back to them this week. Hopefully, we'll get started on that fairly soon. The street light that they're going to install will be similar to the other street lights that are currently in that area. Mm-hmm. The other thing I'd like to mention is that earlier in the week, due to the impending establishment of an agreement for joint fire services between ourselves and the cities of Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande, it's imperative that we have clear lines of chain of command in the fire department. And the Oceana Fire Department runs three shifts for quite a while now. We've had a captain in charge of two of those shifts and a fire engineer in charge of the third shift. It's just important that we have three captains, a captain in charge of each shift. So early in the week, fire engineer Craig Angelo was promoted to fire captain. Angelo, I'd like to congratulate Craig on that promotion. We have every confidence that he's going to perform excellently as a fire captain, and that will enhance the joint operation of the three fire departments.
Yeah, I'm very pleased to hear that we've promoted from within the department, and congratulate Captain Angelo on his promotion. And that was one of the things that was even mentioned in the meeting in Arroyo Grande the other night by one of the chiefs, that it was that they were pleased that we had a third captain to help and assure that we've got as good administration and management of our department going forward as possible on each of the shifts. So I'm again really pleased about that. I think it's a major step that really will provide the best possible service to the members of the community, and I'm really, really pleased and proud of the dedication of all of our fire service professionals. They're just doing an excellent job. Thank you. Comment or questions on the reports?
I'm very glad to see us finally get a street light over on Melody, mm-hmm. and this is a great step for that community, and hopefully we can enhance other areas that do need more street lights, and it's a good step.
Mm-hmm. Okay, item number 12, board member items for discussion. Is there any other? Pamela?
I have none.
Bill?
No.
Vern?
No.
I have none either. Let me suggest that we take item number 14, consideration of the warrants, out of order.
The first one is for Central Coast Striping, and the second is for Malahi Ford.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments from the board, first of all, on the warrants? Hearing none, any comment or questions from the public? Again, hearing none. Do we have a motion?
I move we approve the warrants with the two exceptions.
Okay.
Set. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I don't mind.
I think I heard Vern first, so we have a motion and second to approve the warrants with the exception of Central Coast Striping and Malahi Ford. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries unanimously with one absent. At this point, then, we have an executive session scheduled with this is a conference with a real property negotiator regarding water rights agreement. Alex, did you want to comment on that before we go into the closed session? Or?
No, I don't have any additional comment. The announcement you made was adequate, and if we take any action in closed session, we'll make an announcement coming out.
Okay. Thank you.
We lost our sheriff.
We're good?
I don't feel safe anymore.
Awesome. Okay, I'll call to order again, back to open session, and ask counsel to make a comment on the closed session.
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, with regard to executive session item 13A, conference with real property negotiator regarding a water rights agreement, the board met in closed session. No action was taken.
Okay. Thank you very much. At this time, we're on item 15 on the agenda, having already considered item 14. Is there any public comment at this time? Hearing none, are there any written communications?
No
written communications. In that case, we are adjourned.